The first lesson is recorded in the book of Acts, chapter 20, beginning at the 17th verse. From Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus for the elders of the church. When they arrived, he said to them, "You know how I lived the whole time I was with you, from the first day I came into the province of Asia. I served the Lord with great humility and with tears, and in the midst of severe testing by the plots of my Jewish opponents. You know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly and from house to house. I have declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus. And now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. Now I know that none of you among whom I have gone about preaching the kingdom will ever see me again. Therefore, I declare to you today that I am innocent of the blood of any of you. For I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years I never stopped warning each of you, night and day, with tears. Now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have not coveted anyone's silver or gold or clothing. You yourselves know that these hands of mine have supplied my own needs and the needs of my companions. In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the words the Lord Jesus himself said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" This is the word of the Lord. The second lesson is recorded in the book of Revelation, chapter 7, beginning at the 9th verse. "After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.' All the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, 'Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen.' Then one of the elders asked me, 'These in white robes, who are they and where did they come from?' I answered, 'Sir, you know.' And he said, 'These are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. and he who sits on the throne will shelter them from his presence. Never again will they hunger, never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat down on them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. John. Then came the festival of dedication at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was in the temple courts walking in Solomon's colonnade. The Jews who were there gathered around him, saying, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I tell you, but you do not believe. The works I do in my Father's name testify about me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Isn't that a great thought? What Jesus says right at the end of the gospel lesson. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. He's talking about you. Nothing outside of you can take you outside, drag you away from God. Now, you can walk away from God, but nothing can take you away from God outside of yourself. But I really want us to think for just a moment about what we heard in the book of Revelation. It says in verse 11, "And all the angels..." Now, there are a lot of angels. Okay? "And all of the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. And they fell down on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Can you imagine seeing that? Years and years ago, when I was a pastor in Northern Virginia, just outside Washington, D.C., I went to fill in for a pastor who was going to be on vacation at a neighboring church. He gave me the key so I could get there early, like my custom is. Not that I like getting up early in the morning, but I do. And I unlock the door. I walk in. It's about 7 in the morning. Their service, I believe, was at 9. I walk in, and I walk toward the sanctuary to kind of orient myself, see what the layout is and all of that. And I start walking down the center aisle, and I'm taken aback because there's a man laying in the middle of the center aisle on his face, praising God and praying. This Lutheran church that I went to serve that morning rented their church to a Korean church on Saturday night. He was still there on his face before God. I saw that. I was surprised, first of all. Secondly, I was impressed. Not that he was trying to impress me, because he didn't even know I was there. And I felt humbled, because I don't think up to that point I had ever done that. I have since, perhaps not as frequently as maybe God would like me to. It was incredible. That man, apparently, and I don't know his name, I left him alone, didn't talk with him. That man, I have to believe, had an understanding of the value of what he had been given in Jesus Christ. All night, on his face before God. Now, I've never been to Korea, but I have been told that in the Korean church, it is not uncommon for Christians to gather all night Saturday, all night, in preparation for the Sunday morning worship. Whew. Well, I didn't say this in the first service, but as an aside, I will say, the church in America, by and large, is fairly lazy. Maybe even real lazy in some places, in some people. And we're all lazy to some degree. I mean, we all admit that. Wow. You see, Paul also knew what Jesus had done for him. What did he say in the gospel lesson? He said in verse 24, well, before I get to that, he says earlier that he's going to Jerusalem, and in every city that he stops in along the way, the Holy Spirit is speaking through the brothers or sisters in that city, and either through a prophecy or a word of knowledge, but somehow the Holy Spirit is saying, Paul, when you get to Jerusalem, prison and hardship awaits. But Paul's going anyway. In fact, he says to these elders from Ephesus, he says, you're never going to see me again. He knows he's heading to the end. And he says, here's what he says in verse 24. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. Wow. I'm not asking, and I don't expect, and I don't think God expects all of us to have the exact same calling that Paul had. But what has he asked you to complete? What is the task that he has placed before you? Have you asked that question of late? A good question. May God, through the next 15, 20 minutes or so, inch us, or maybe help us to stride toward a better understanding of what that calling might be. I'd like to invite Matthew Geppert to come and share with us some of the things that are happening with Southeast Asia Prayer Center.
Hi. How are we doing? Good. I'm doing good, too. I'm in Tallahassee, and I am growing to love Tallahassee. And I'm literally growing to love Tallahassee. In the past 2 days, I've eaten more food than I'm accustomed to. I want to thank you all so very much for caring for our family and for the ministry that I serve. I'm Matt Geppert, the president of the Southeast Asia Prayer Center, and you've met my parents, Mark and Ellie Geppert, who send their love and their greetings. Dad is in Guatemala today. Mom is at home. They love you all very much and appreciate you greatly. They are my heroes. You should know that. They are my heroes. And we laugh and say that Dad is retired, which means absolutely nothing at all. Actually, it does. It means he has no responsibilities whatsoever. And he can go forth and do what God has called him to do without having to deal with anything else. And that's exactly where I love him to be. And yes, he does stir up the pot wherever he goes. But he loves you all, and they send their greetings. Thank you very much. Tallahassee is growing on me. So when I get home, my wife's going to say, what happened to you? And I'm going to say, Tallelujah. And I'm going to continue to say Tallelujah in the different places where I go and visit. We had a great time yesterday. Thank you for those who came out. And thank you for allowing SEAPC to be a benefactor of your generosity and your giving. And certainly, most importantly, your prayers. I know that as we gathered together yesterday in an atmosphere of praise and worship and lifted up the name of Jesus, celebrating all that He has done, we took part in completing the tasks. I know that in that atmosphere of praise and worship, lives are changed, regions are changed, nations are changed. And we did take part in something special yesterday. Tallahassee's growing on me. I had a dear friend, Dick Eastman, and Pastor Mark, I need to say that in the first service, I looked for a clock, and it's dangerous for Gepperts if they don't see a clock.
You know that.
It is dangerous. Okay, so I'm trying to. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. A dear brother, Pastor Dick Eastman of Every Home for Christ, laid hands on me and he said, Father, I ask that you would take Matthew and grow him to fill the pants of his father. And I said, it's shoes, shoes, fill the shoes. But I'm growing in faith and in stature over the years. Praise the Lord. Completing the task. Paul, as he was sharing, he had that vision of Jerusalem. The Lord had revealed to him what it was that he was called to do, what his purpose was. He had shown that to him. In our ministry, the Lord has called us to very specific things. Several of you have participated in those things. For me personally, a task completed is watching a life changed, completely changed through the love and understanding of Jesus, receiving Him into their lives. You hosted the group, the children from Cambodia, as they came over. Do you remember when they came into this house? And I thank you for giving them so much love. And for you, you got to see these joyful faces, these lovely kids worshiping Jesus and celebrating what He's done. For me, I get to see those kids when they first arrive into their home. And I tell you, when they first arrived into the home, they look like this. And through the process of receiving Christ into their lives, I watch the shoulders go back. I watch the chest come out. I watch the chin lift. I watch the eyes connect with your eyes. And I watch life restore a being that would otherwise be dead and an object of wrath. This is a task completed in my world. Many of you participate in that task being completed. I can't thank you enough. Several of you have also traveled, two of you also traveled, three. Greta, of course, and Dan and David and Mac traveled to Tibet and went the whole way across Tibet. I have gone the whole way across Tibet. That's no simple task to complete. And I thank you for doing it. It's one of the hardest places in missions, if not the hardest place in missions, to physically go and certainly spiritually go and lift up the name of Jesus and give Him glory. They were a part of something that is an ongoing vision that the Lord has given to the Chinese church, which we are a part of as a family and as a ministry. The Chinese church has a mandate. The Chinese church, which is now 150 million Christians in China, and several other millions around the world who are ethnically Chinese, have a mandate that they are called to bring the gospel back to Jerusalem. This is the call amongst the Chinese church. Our family has been adopted by this Chinese church, and that movement has made it to this Mount Kailas, this western part of Tibet. It's building now behind it with this vision to go back to Jerusalem, to bring the gospel to Jerusalem. When I was a boy, of course, we traveled many different nations. The first time into China, I was 6 years old. Second time was 8 years old. China was very different back then. Back then, they weren't used to white folks showing up. So they would come up, they would come up to me as a boy to us, and they would try to rub the white off our skin. No joke. Did you ever have someone try to rub the white off your skin? That's a weird sensation. And then they would rub your head because of the blonde hair. They believed there would be some fortune or some luck in rubbing the head. So imagine an 8-year-old kid getting his skin rubbed off and his head rubbed, trying to make his way through China. Quite a trip. While we were in Beijing, in the city, my father thought it would be very important for us to visit the home of leaders who were influential in the house church movement. Folks who had survived through the communist revolution. So we went and we visited this home. We met a dear lady named Mabel and her brother who were living in this home. Picture a small earthen home, dirt floor, no windows in the window holes. And coming into this home, poor, and meeting this woman. And my father asked her if she would please lift up the back of her shirt and show my brother and I the scars that she had received during the communist revolution. And I can still see it today. And Mabel, after she showed this to us, she turned and she knew, as boys, this would be startling. Of course, she knew that we would have a lot of emotion and that we would have compassion. And so she got down low and looked into our eyes, and I remember her looking into my eyes and saying very clearly, "I did not feel one whip." It was Mabel who then in her elderly years first started bringing the gospel into the Tibetan people. So as we traveled in Tibet, we were in fact standing in the fruit of those who had gone before us, unified in completing the task. Very, very significant. Very impressive on my spirit and our family and our calling and what we stand in. I can't wait as we look at this scripture in Revelations. Wow. To stand in an atmosphere of praise and worship, much like yesterday, but even greater, in this presence with all of these nations, these tribes, these tongues, and all of the angels in worship before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Quite a day it will be. Here together as followers of Jesus Christ in worship unto Him, we get to come into that presence and feel the love and feel the passion, feel the peace, feel the joy, feel all the strength and the promises that His Word gives to us. And it's in that presence, in that spirit, that we are encouraged to go on towards Jerusalem. Or to go on towards completing the call. Each one of us is personal and different with our Father. The call that He's put before us. All of the resource that we need is in that presence and in Him. I believe that as You have given unto us, just as Paul said, may the Lord pour out His blessings on you. My God shall supply all of your needs according to His riches and glory. And I believe that as you have given and sown into and been generous in giving into these works and to other works, that the Lord our God, who is a faithful God, will pour out into your lives and into the calling, the ministry that He's put before you, the tasks that are in front of you. Together, as we continue to press on in this work, we will see great and mighty things. The one I can't wait to see is when this nation wakes up, stands confident in who they are in Christ, and pushes back these lies that are trying to take over in this land. Let's partake in that together, you say. I want to close, and I'd like to pray for you, but I do just want you to know how very grateful we are. I want you to know that running up there into Tibet and eating yak, dried yak skin and goat cheese, I know what it's like, man. Whoa. Facing that altitude, it's worth it. Embracing these kids from Cambodia and sowing into their lives and giving of yourself, it's worth it. Lives are being changed. Nations are being changed. And stepping out and facing these battles that are on our streets right out here, it's worth it. When you see the shoulders go back, the chest come up, the chin raise, the eyes meet yours, and you know Jesus has just touched a life. Let me pray for you all. Father, I give you praise. Thank you, Jesus. God, we do thank you for this church. God, I thank you for Pastor Mark and for Stephanie, Father, for their family, their leadership, Lord, for all the leaders here in this church. God, I do believe and I do ask that everything that they have given in for your kingdom, Lord, that they would see the return in the spiritual, in the material, Father, and in this house, that they can complete the tasks, the calls that you've put before them. Lord, I ask that you'd protect them. I ask that you'd give them great joy. I ask that you would continue to pour out your spirit and worship here in this place, Father. And Lord, that they would know that the fruit of their giving is doing great and mighty things all around the world. Lord, I ask that you'd strengthen us, Jesus. Fill us with your Holy Spirit to do even more for your purposes in this time. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you guys so very much. God bless you.
So, what is the task that God wants you to complete? Or, plural, tasks. When's the last time you prayed about that? Some of the tasks that God gives us to do, He gives us to do them directly. In other words, we are personally involved with our very bodies, like going on a mission trip, or like volunteering at the hospital, or at one of the other ministries in town, or participating in the Prayer Connection Revival, or listening to somebody who comes to your desk at work because of some tragedy in their life. Sometimes we're called to be involved directly. Sometimes we're called to be involved a step away from directly. Well, like with helping Southeast Asia Prayer Center with financial gifts, because they need gifts ongoing, as does the congregation, but so do all these parachurch ministries too. And this is an excellent one, as we know, because they've been with us and we've seen the fruit that has been born. Because they're not just in Southeast Asia. They're in Mexico. They're in Guatemala. You were on a mission trip, you said, earlier this year to Cuba. You know, all kinds of different places. But what is the task that God wants you to complete? Have you asked God to reveal that to you? Sometimes He will. If we're listening, we might actually hear what it is. But you know, there are a lot of times, too, when He has tasks for us to do. And He may be trying to tell us what they are, but maybe we aren't so much listening, and so we miss it. But God still sometimes lays it on your doorstep nonetheless. And there it is on Tuesday, in the form of this person you had no expectation of having any kind of encounter with on that day. What is the task, or what are the tasks that God has for you? You know, if God has something that He wants to be a lifelong thing for you, like what happened with the Gephardt family, great. But if nothing else, tomorrow morning when you wake up, say to God, Holy Spirit, here I am. I'm ready to show up for work today. Show me what my task is today. Help me to live it today. Help me to be faithful to it today. Give me, Holy Spirit, what I will need for the task today. Because it's through His church that God gets His work done. Amen?